I want to show you this morning how the law of God is something good, but it can be used unlawfully, and as a result, become something bad. I want us to look at the lawful use of the law of God. Let's stand together as we begin reading in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I would not have known my own sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of lust. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, in other words, the commandment, which was meant for life, I found it to be death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, we looked at a definition of the law of God. And you remember I defined it as the Mosaic law revealed to us in the Old Testament. The early church in Rome would have been very familiar with the law of God, summarized by Jesus in the book of Matthew when he said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. This is the law of God. Jesus went on and he said, All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, if you were to take a look at the moral expression of God's law, that is the Ten Commandments, you would see that the first four deal with your love for God, and the last six deal with your love for man. Someone sent me a little thing this past week that summarized the Ten Commandments country style. And I thought, you know, we're country folks, and this is what the law of God says. There's only one God. There are to be no false gods. There's no cussing, no gathering. Gathering for worship is a must. You're to mind your ma and your pa. No killing. Cheating is forbidden. Don't steal. No white lies or gossiping. And no hankering for others' stuff. That's pretty much what the law of God says. Now, you know, that's how we can understand it. Countrified. But it's a serious thing. Because if you remember, I told you that according to Scripture, if you transgress the law of God, that means if you disobey it, because that is sin. That's what the Bible says. Sin is the transgression of the law of God. You disobey it, the Scripture says, you are paid death. The wages of sin is death. Now, this is exactly what is pictured for us in the Old Testament when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan and they stood on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, and the Levites, the people of the law, read the law. By the way, they had it engraven in stone and then they put plaster around it as a monument. And they read the law, don't steal, don't cheat, don't take another man's possessions, don't move your neighbor's boundary. You can read this in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And the prophets, when they read it, said this, cursed is anyone who violates the law. And then they went on and they talked about fulfilling the law. And they said, blessed is anyone who fulfills the law. And all of the people, when they heard the reading of the law, shouted, Amen. Well, I want to show you from our text that we have a wrong view of the law, as did the people of Israel. Here's what we think the law is supposed to do. We think that when we hear the law, that naturally something happens within us that causes us to want to obey it, to fulfill it, or to be scared that we're disobeying it, so we stop doing what we're doing, and the law in our minds becomes the instrument whereby our lives are changed by God. But that's the wrong use of the law. Now, you may not understand what I'm about to say, but I make you a promise. If you stay with me and hang with me, I want to set you free and show you how important your relationship with Jesus Christ really is. I want to show you the proper use of the law, the lawful use of the law. And contrary to your Sunday school teacher, who told you that you're to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself, and you memorized that verse, and then you said to yourself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to love God, and I'm going to try to love my fellow man, and I'm going to try to be the best that I can, and I want to be what the law demands of me. I want to show you that's the unlawful use of the law. That's not what the law is for. You say, I don't understand. Well, first thing I want you to see is this. The law of God is never given to expel sin from the heart, only to expose it. In other words, when God gives His law, He doesn't give it to you to try to get sin out of your heart. No. That's not how sin escapes from your heart. He gives you the law of God to expose sin in your heart. This is what Paul says in Romans 7 and verse 7, our text. He said, is the law bad? Is it wrong? Oh, no, God forbid, not at all. No, in fact, I would have not known sin. I wouldn't have known sin in my heart. I wouldn't have known that it was there. I would have not known lust, except God's law says, don't hanker after other people's stuff. And then when the commandment came, thou shalt not covet, all of the sudden, I saw what was within me. My sin was exposed. The word lust in verse 7 translates the idea of having a natural inclination in the heart to sin. All Paul is saying is this, the law was like a mirror in that it showed me who I really was. It exposed me the way I am. How many of you have kids that have now grown? And I mean, they've done things that you're mortified at. In fact, you've gone to Thanksgiving this year and I mean, it's embarrassing to have to talk to the family about your son or your daughter. I mean, maybe the conversation turned that direction and you had to say some things. Your child has done some things and you just can't believe it. And maybe you said to others around you, you know, I didn't raise them that way. What do you mean? What do you mean you didn't raise them that way? If I know your heart, I think what you're saying is this. I taught them better. I taught them the laws of God. I taught them morality. I taught them how to live. I taught them to love God and to love their fellow man. This is what I did. Oh, I know. But what are you saying? You see, maybe you're misunderstanding the function of the law. The law of God is never given to expel sin from the heart. It's given to expose sin that is already in the heart. And this is what Paul says about the law of coveting. When the commandment came to me, somebody told me that God says, thou shalt not covet. And if you do, the wages of your sin is death. Well, immediately, sin took hold of that commandment and wrought in me all manner of sin. In other words, all the law does is increase one knowledge of sin. Because sin takes occasion by the commandment to multiply. You say, be clear. All right? When you constantly hear the law of God, all it does is reveal and expose sin. But it never expels sin from the heart. That's why if you come to church and all you ever hear is what God demands and what you ought to do and what you should do and how you should live and what the law demands, which a lot of churches emphasize, that doesn't change anybody. It might expose sin, but it never expels it. The unlawful use of the law is this. Here's the principle. It is all right and a good thing to teach God's laws, but it's a bad thing to expect others to fulfill God's laws. Now, I know that's going to blow you away, but let me show you how it applies. It's all right to teach the law of God. In fact, it's a good thing. It's a holy thing. But if you think to yourself that somebody has it within them to naturally fulfill the law of God, you set yourself up for a great deal of disappointment. You are expecting things that are incapable apart from the grace of God. You are expecting things impossible apart from God's sovereign grace. You can establish laws in your home for your kids, which we do. It's a good thing. We can set the consequences if they're disobeyed, which we do. It's a good thing. We can teach others the law of God, to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and others as yourself. And it's a good thing to tell people about it and to tell them that this is what God demands. But listen to me. The law does not expel sin from the heart. It only shows what is already in the heart. Number two, the law of God is given to condemn the sinner, never to convert the sinner. This is what Paul says in verse 9. I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived. And I died. This is the function of the law. The function of the law is to crucify people. It's to slay people. It's to kill people. That is what the law of God is for. Now let me show you how this works. I'm not going to talk about other churches. I'm going to talk about Southern Baptist churches. Because I can't talk about Southern Baptist churches. I'm a Southern Baptist pastor. But we've got it wrong. We've got it wrong. Now, you may get tired of me saying this, but I want to hammer it into your heads. We've got it wrong. We're going out to the world. People who have no sense of their sinful hearts before a holy God. We're going out to the world. People who have no idea of the condemnation that they are in because they have transgressed the law of God. And we are telling these people of the love of God and how God has a wonderful plan for their life and how God gave His Son to die for sinners and so on. And these folks have no sense of sin, no sense of their hearts. And so they hear the love of God and how it's almost like God is a great big Santa Claus and He's wanting to bless people down here, but you know, we're not being good enough people in order to be blessed and so on and so on. And so the message is God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life and He wants you to accept Christ, but you know, you got to do it when you want to. That's hogwash. But what happens is we give them that message, and every now and then somebody says, well, you know, I think I'll make a decision to receive Christ. I think I'll try Christianity. I've done other things, but I think I'll give it a shot now. Like, Christianity is giving anything a shot. And then they come into the church. And then, what do? We hammer them with the law. Why? Well, the only way that you can get unregenerate people to do anything is by threatening them with condemnation if they don't. And so you bring people into the church who've never had a change of heart, and then you threaten them with God's law. This is what you should do. This is what you ought to do. This is how you should behave. And if you don't behave, you watch out. God is gonna get you. We got it all wrong. That's the unlawful use of the law. What we should be doing is going to the world, to people who have no sense of their sin, and telling them of the law of God. We should show them the consequences of disobeying His law. We should reveal to them the judgment that they're in because they are law breakers. We should talk to them about the way they use the Lord's name in vain. We should talk to them about their absence from worship. We should talk to them about the way they covet other people's things and long for things they don't have. We should talk to them about that. Not condemn them, just talk to them. We should teach them about that. And then we should show them that the Ethiopian cannot change the color of his skin, and the leopard cannot change his spots. Neither can you, who are accustomed to transgressing the law of God, ever change your ways. That'll kill them. It'll slay them. And they will come to the end of themselves and they will say, now wait a minute, you are telling me that I'm a sinner. And we will say, oh no, no, we're sinners too. All we're doing is holding up a mirror. And we see ourselves in the same mirror that you see yourself in. We are all sinners. But what you're saying to me is that I can't do anything to change the condition of my heart. That's exactly what we're saying. You can't. But we know a person who can. The function of the law is never to convert anyone. It's to condemn them. Jesus Christ converts people. Now, how does he do it? Well, listen to what he said. I am not come to destroy the law, Jesus said. I have come to fulfill it. Jesus Christ, in his life, fulfilled the law. Every jot and tittle of the law of God was fulfilled. In him was no guile. In his thought, action, or deeds, Jesus never sinned. He also fulfilled the law when he died. The wages of sin is death. He had no sin. Why did he die? He died to fulfill the law for sinners like us. He bore the punishment due us, so that Christ becomes our Savior from the law. Isn't that amazing? Christ saves us from the law. You see, what we need to be saved from is our transgressions of the law, which bring about God's condemnation. Jesus received that condemnation in our stead. But you will never appreciate your Savior till you see your sin. You'll never long for conversion till you know your condemnation. This is the principle I want you to see. Gospel preaching focuses on the finished work of Calvary, not man's sinful work. I know some of you would prefer me to talk more about what you should do and what you ought to do, and what God expects, and what God demands. I know that is what would satisfy you. But I can't, because I am not a law preacher. I am a gospel preacher. and that which God expects and God demands has been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you and I are to live a life of faith, trusting Christ. You say, but now wait a minute, Pastor. You are blowing me away. The whole way I live my Christian life has got to change if I accept what you're saying. I don't know what to do. I'm scared. Because the only way I know how to live is by laying out a law and saying that if I obey that law, God will bless me. Or if I disobey that law, God will punish me. I don't know how to live any other way. Well, let me show you how you can live another way. And this is the third thing I want you to see about the lawful use of the law. The law of God is a good schoolmaster, but it is never a good school teacher. Do you want to know how to live? All right. Why don't you ask Christ? Why don't you seek Him? Listen to this verse, Galatians 3, verse 24. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The Greek word translated schoolmaster here is the word pedagogos, which describes a trustworthy Greek or Roman slave whose job it was to severely censor or punish the family's son who broke the rules. The schoolmaster was especially feared by the son. But when the schoolmaster had done his job and brought the son to the father, the schoolmaster left the room. So that in Christ, being taught by Him, we are no longer under the law, but under grace. So this is the principle. The Christian's life is one of relationship, not rules, peace, not fear, blessing, not punishment, being married to Christ and dying to the law. You say, but how? How? All right. This is it. This is how. The law drives you to faith in Christ. When you come to faith in Christ to see that He fulfilled the law in your stead and you trust Him, then what becomes important to you? His relationship to you is all-consuming. It's knowing Christ and being found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from my obedience to the law, but that which is from God and is found by faith in Him. And we begin the morning in a conversation with our Lord. Father, what would you have me do today? Lord, how would you have me serve others? Father, I'm struggling right now. I'm in the midst of depression. I'm in the blues. And Lord, I just really don't feel like serving you. And Father, I'm so grateful that all of my blessings are found in your Son serving you on my behalf. I rest in that, Lord. And now during this time in my life, I thank you for your grace and for your mercy. And I ask you for a shower of your mercy to remove this cloud of depression that hangs over me. It changes your whole perspective. You are no longer looking to the law and living your life by rules or regulations in order to receive something from God. No, you are driven by a relationship, No longer is there fear that if you don't obey the law, God will punish you. There is peace that He has obeyed it for you. Therefore, you live and you enjoy life and you abide in the vine and you trust Him and you know that all of your steps will be guided by Him. You say, but Pastor, is it not possible for a person who knows Christ to transgress the law? Well, of course it is. It's a fight. In fact, I'll show you this next week. It's Paul's own testimony. It's a fight. But here's the difference. There's a new man in the person who has died to himself and the law. A new man created by God in my heart. And that new man drives me, compels me from the inside out. Now I fight the old man and the flesh that is always enticed by the law to sin more. Oh, but the new man in me is what I want to follow. And I'll show you in the coming weeks how as a Christian you win the battle. But listen to me. This is why you don't hear me give you law. I preach Christ and Him crucified. Some of you don't know how to behave. You don't know what to do. And I'm not going to tell you. Follow your heart. You say, I need the parameters. Those are the things that keep me holy. Follow your heart. Because if the Spirit is in your heart, I promise you, you will live a more godly life than you ever dreamed. Because nobody's compelling you to live it. It is flowing from within you like an artesian spring. And it is in everybody. The problem is we use the law unlawfully and it makes us all sick. Mona Lowen was in the early service this morning and she said, Preacher, how in the world did you ever get elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention? I said, what do you mean? She said, I've been Southern Baptist all my life. I've never heard anything like this. I said, well, Mona, the old-time Baptists used to teach this. The 18th century Baptists, my heroes in the faith, they said exactly what I'm saying. We just kind of lost sight of them because they were men of the gospel. In fact, the magazine that they published, it's very rare now, I have all of the editions of the 1800s. You know what it was called? The Gospel Standard. Because the gospel was their standard, not the law.